Good day, friends. We again invite you to listen with studies in the Word of God. It is our great desire and purpose that everyone who listens in may know something of our wonderful Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And to do this, we must, of course, have to come to the Word of God. And God gives to us four witnesses concerning the person of His Son as He lived among men. We have Matthew, who is dealing with Jesus Christ as the Messiah. And then we have Mark, who wrote on our Lord Jesus Christ as the servant of Jehovah, ministering. And we come to Luke's Gospel. We have our Lord revealed as a man in the midst of men, to deliver men from sin, death, and from hell. We come to the Gospel through John, where you have the revelation of Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Or as Isaiah chapter 40, verse 9 says, "Say unto the cities of Judah, Behold, your God." Now, in our past lessons, we've been dealing with the first chapter, in the first 14 verses, what our Lord was before incarnation, and how He became a man in the midst of men for the revelation of God, as well as the putting away of sin by the sacrifice of Himself. Then we took up the testimony of John the Baptist from verse 15 down to 34. Where we have John in his place is concealed behind Christ. Christ is always the preferred one. As we have in chapter 3 of John, our Lord must increase and John must decrease. And our Lord came bringing grace and manifesting grace and making it possible for you and me through His grace to come to know God. Then we have John's worship as he was a worshiper, a heart occupied with the Savior. And then our last lesson, we were dealing with his message. He testifies concerning Christ. First of all, as the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Though rejected by Israel, he is now the Savior of all men, Jew or Gentile. Makes no difference who they are or what they are. He's the individual Savior of men and women. Our Lord is not saving nations today. He is saving individuals out of those nations. And as Acts 15 says, He's gathering out a people for His name. And those people are gathered out on the ground that our Savior was the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And may I emphasize again, if we spurn the Lord Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God who died for us, then we must face Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, as the judge. You find this in the book of Revelation, where 28 times He's given the title, the Lamb of God. He is called Lord of Lords, King of Kings. He's called the Faithful and True One. But He's called 28 times the Lamb of God. And men are going to be judged in the presence of the Lamb. If you don't believe that, read the end of chapter 6. You find where they're going to cry for the rocks and the mountains to fall upon them, to hide them from the face of Him who cometh in His glory. And then we had the reason why John came baptizing, that Jesus Christ might be made known to Israel. Now, John himself did not know Jesus in his official capacity as the Messiah, as the Son of God. He knew Him as the Son of Mary. And so John said, "I knew Him not. I don't know who the Messiah is." When they came and asked him, "Are you the Christ, the Messiah? Are you Elijah? Are you one of the prophets? Are you that prophet?" "No, I'm only the voice of one crying in the wilderness. I'm talking about the preferred one," said John. "And He's the Lamb of God." And when John saw Him, it was manifested to John by the Spirit of God coming upon Jesus as He was being baptized by John in Jordan. And you remember the second thing he has to say about our Lord is that He's the baptizer with the Holy Spirit. "He shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit." You have that in verse 33. "The same is He who baptizeth with the Holy Spirit." Do you remember that the Jews were looking for this, by the way, in the book of Joel, chapter 2, the second chapter of Joel, where it comes to the day of the Lord, speaks of it. When you come to John chapter 7, our Lord said on that last great day of the feast, "If any man thirst, let him come unto Me and drink. He that believeth on Me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This spake He of the Spirit, which they that believed on Him should receive." The Spirit was not yet given because he was not yet glorified. And we stated the fact that this statement, the baptism with the Spirit of God, is mentioned seven times in the New Testament. It's mentioned in each Gospel, in Matthew 3 and Mark 1 and Luke 3 and John 1. Our Lord spoke of it in Acts chapter 1. Then Peter speaks of it in Acts chapter 11. And then Paul speaks of it in Corinthians 12:13 when he said, "We have all been baptized by one Spirit into one body." Now one further word about John and his message. And that's the last verse of this section, verse 34. And I read, "And John said, I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God." Now you notice in verse 29, he talks about his work, W-O-R-K. Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. That's his work. But in verse 34, it's his person. I, John, saw and bear record. This is the Son of God. You remember in Isaiah 7:14, "I'll give you a sign," said God. "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Now, in Isaiah 40, verse 9, "Behold, your God." So John introduces him as the Lamb of God, as the baptizer with the Spirit, and he also confesses him as the Son of God. Now, John doesn't mention what Matthew and Luke declare when our Lord was baptized by John. Do you remember? In Matthew's Gospel, the Spirit of God came upon our Savior, and there came a voice out of the glory saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Our Lord is starting officially in his ministry, and the Father recognizes him as he starts his ministry. "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Why well pleased? Because the Son of God was willing to leave the glory and take his place in humanity for the purpose of redeeming you and redeeming me from sin, from death, and from hell. He came for the purpose of revealing God to men. "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." You remember in Matthew 17 on the Mount of Transfiguration, you have him making the same statement with the addition, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." Why was the Father well pleased with the Son? Because of the Son being in complete subjection to the will of his Father. When is God well pleased with you? When is God well pleased with me? When we also come to that place of complete submission to the will of our Father. Oh, that God may make it very clear, very precious to you and to me in these days. And may we be in that place not only of obedience to his word, but of being submissive to his will. Now, starting at verse 35 and running through the rest of the gospel through John chapter 1, we have a change. Instead of John the Baptist being the center of attraction or the center of the gathering of God's people, for you remember from verse 7 of the first chapter where there was a man sent from God whose name was John. That's in verse 6. Right on through verse 34, you have John is the one who makes the proclamation. It is John who talks about the preferred one. It is John who declares, this is the Son of God. John is before us in his testimony, in his life, in his worship, in his praise. But now the moment that Jesus comes on the scene, John goes off the scene. And our Lord now becomes the center of the gathering of his people. I say before this, John was. The people went out of Jerusalem, went down to the river Jordan, and were baptized of John. And the crowds followed John. But now that the Lord has come on the scene, John goes off the scene. Again, I repeat from chapter 3 when John says, he must increase and I must decrease. Now, I'm not going to spend the time so much on these verses, for example, from verse 35 down to the end of the chapter, except to point out just one or two simple things, and then I would like to go into chapter 2. With your permission, I'd like to go into chapter 2. But before I do that, you'll notice from verse 35 down through verse 39 and 40, you have where John, as I said a moment ago, goes off the scene and Jesus comes on the scene as the center. And I read verse 35, "The next day after John stirred, and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? They say unto him, Rabbi, that is to say, Master, Teacher, where are you staying? Where dwellest thou? And he saith unto them, Come and see. And they came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day. It was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother," and so on. You notice the change in John. In verse 29 he said to the crowds, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." Now he says to his disciples, John says to his own disciples, "Behold the Lamb of God." He attracts them to the person of Christ. To the crowd he said, "He's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." That's his work. But here he attracts them to his person, and John lost his disciples. At least he lost two of them. And I think two of them was John, who became the apostle, and also Andrew. And these two fellows followed Jesus and said, "Where are you staying?" And he said, "Come on and see." And when they came and saw where he dwelt, and they stayed with him that day, it was about the 10th hour. That would be about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Notice, please, they never went back to John. Once they came to Jesus, they fell in love with Jesus. And it was so wonderful, that when they left Jesus, Andrew went out and he hunted up his brother Simon Peter, or his name was Simon. And he first findeth Simon, and he said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. When Jesus beheld him, he said, "Thou art Simon the son of Jonah, thou shalt be called Cephas," which is by interpretation a stone. Let me just stop here. You notice, the moment these two fellows came in the presence of the Savior, they stayed with him that day. And then Andrew began to think about his brother Simon. See, they were fishermen. They were in business together. As if he was saying to John, "I've really got to go out and find Simon. I've got to get Simon in on this." And he went out and he hunted up Simon. "Simon, we have found the Messiah. We have found the Christ." And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus saw him and said, "You're Simon the son of Jonah, you shall be called Cephas, Peter," which is by interpretation a stone. I kind of like this. What is there about Jesus Christ that when a person has spent a few hours with him, you've got to go out and tell somebody else about him? This is what happens here. As I said a moment ago, Andrew never went back to John the Baptist. Once he caught a glimpse of the Savior, nobody else satisfied him. Christian friend, have you done that? Did you ever come in the presence of the Savior and receive him, and you're never again the same? You've got to tell somebody about it. That's what Andrew did. And when he brought Simon, Jesus looked at him and said, "I'm going to change your name. You're going to be called Peter," meaning a stone. Now from verse 43 to the end of the chapter, you have two more who came to Jesus. In verse 43, "The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee, and findeth Philip, and said to him, Follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael, and said to him, We have found him, of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said, Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? And Philip said, Come and see." No argument, come and see. And when Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, he said to him, "Behold an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile." Nathanael said to Jesus, when did you know me? And the Lord's answer was, before Philip ever called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. Nathanael answered and said, Rabbi, teacher, you are the Son of God. You're the King of Israel. Let me just stop here for a moment. Here is another way that people are brought to Christ. Jesus would go into Galilee, and he finds Philip, and he said, follow me. That's all. Follow me. And I'll tell you, my friend, once Philip got his eyes on Jesus, he left his nets and everything else and followed Jesus. And when he spent a little time in the presence of Jesus, I've got to get my friend Nathanael in on this. We have found him of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write. Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Oh, says Nathanael, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Despise Nazareth? Why, when Messiah comes, he's going to come out of Bethlehem. Now, there's no argument here. Philip didn't say, well, I'll tell you, he's real. Didn't start to argue. He just said, come and see. Oh, I wish we Christians were just as simple as that. Instead of arguing with people and battling with people, just says, come on and see. I challenge you, my friend, if you do not know the Savior, come on and see. Pick up your Bible and look for Jesus. Read your Bible to find Jesus. Not to bolster up some philosophy, not to bolster up some doctrine you believe. Read your Bible to see Jesus. Even in your Old Testament, as our Lord could say, Moses wrote concerning me. This is our problem today. We read our Bibles, but we don't read our Bibles to see Jesus. Let me just stop on this 45th verse. Philip said to Nathanael, we have found him. You know, excuse me, but I've got to bring up a little matter that I think I've mentioned before, but I can't help but re-mention it again today. You remember what dear Job could say in Job 23, I think the third verse, when he said, oh, that I might know where to find him. Oh, that I might know where to find him. People everywhere, oh, I wish I knew what the truth was. I wish I could know God. I wish I know what the truth was. Oh, I wish I could find him. I wish I could find him. Philip says, we found him. We found him. We found him. I tell you, friend, you don't have to go after some man-made philosophy or some man-made religion. We have found him. As I've been saying all along in this little book of John, the first chapter, the only way you'll ever find God is through Jesus Christ. But he read an issue. We have found him. I'd like to add one other little word from the gospel. One day a woman touched him and was made whole. Oh, that I might know where to find him. We found him. She touched him. Have you touched him? Have you touched him? Your need will be met when you touch him, my friend. However, there's no argument here. As I said a while ago, truth is never imparted by argument. Only to open hearts does God reveal truth. Nathanael said, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Come and see. And Jesus said, oh, here comes a Jew, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. When did you know me? When did you know me? Why, before ever Philip called you, I knew you, I saw you. You were under the fig tree. What do you think he was doing under the fig tree? Well, I'm persuaded in my own mind, he was worshipping. Nathanael was alone. How in the world could you know me when I was under the fig tree? Before ever Philip called you, I saw you under the fig tree. Now mark his answer. Teacher, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. Ah, friend, how true it is. He's the King of Israel, yes. He's the Son of God. Then Jesus' answer was, because I said I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe it? You'll see greater things than these. What things? You'll see heaven opened, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee. Rule out the chapter division for a moment. Notice the answer of Jesus. Hereafter you shall see the heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Do you remember Daniel 7 said he's going to come in the clouds of heaven? Ah, listen, friend. May I suggest to you, Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God. He's the Son of God. He's the baptizer of the Spirit. He's the one who is the Messiah, the Christ. He's the Son of God. He's the King of Israel. Notice all these titles in John's Gospel. And I'm the one who's going to come in power and great glory. I'm going to see, as he said here, you'll see the heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus? And you notice how easy it is to come to the Savior? Four ways are given to us in this passage. Four ways whereby you can know the Savior. By the testimony of John the Baptist was one. By the personal call of Jesus. By the testimony of Andrew. And by the Word of God. Four ways in this chapter how men came to Jesus. Again, repeated, by the preaching of John, by the testimony of Andrew, by the personal call of Jesus, and by the Word of God to Nathanael. Ah, I tell you, friend, do you know him? To know him is to really love him. And may God grant you love him today.